So last time round, we're at the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis, and we had talked about whether the case in the Mishnah was a case in which you had a ready shot.
Can I dedicate this shiur today?
Yeah, please.
My wife's mother's yahrzeit on Shabbos, Zelda Sheva Bas Moshe.
Shama Shabbat Aliyah.
Thank you.
So we had said back in the Mishnah that, you know, this was the original Mishnah, that we had a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai regarding Hashochei Chayav Oof B'Yom Tov, one who shechts the beast or the bird on Yom Tov. And we had a discussion here about whether that meant somebody who already shechted or somebody who says, I would like to shecht. What do you do? Beis Shammai says, dig and cover. And Beis Hillel says, don't shecht unless you have the dirt ready. We had a machlokes also in the Gemara as to whether Beis Shammai is saying shecht, dig, cover, or dig, shecht, cover. Two different ways to look at it. One way to look at it was tell him that he should shecht first, because otherwise if he digs and then decides not to shecht, he's dug for nothing. The other way to look at it was to say let him shecht first. Better to dig first, because if you tell him he can't dig first and therefore can't do a full, proper covering of the dam with dirt below and above, then he's going to refrain from shechting altogether, and then he won't have Simchas Yom Tov, he won't have a nice Yom Tov meal. So on that, the Mishnah had also said, Umodim, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, Shem Shachat, that having shechted, Sheyachbor Badeker V'yechaseh, he should dig with a spade and cover it. So Rabbi Yehuda explains what that means. Amar Rabbi Zrika, we're one line up from the bottom on Zayin Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Zrika, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Behu sheyesh lo deker na'utz mibaodiyam. The assumption is that he has a spade stabbed into the ground from before Yom Tov, and that's what he's going to use. He's going to pick it up out of the ground, and by picking it up out of the ground, it will produce dirt. That's the idea. And that's how we're going to allow him to do this.
Is that why? Because it's considered as if it was making before Yom Tov?
So that's part of the question here, is exactly what are you solving by having a spade that's already stuck into the ground from before? Maybe it's that it's ready, but it doesn't seem to solve the problem, because the Gemara asks that Motza is one issue, but we have other issues here. Specifically, you're breaking up the dirt, you're digging a hole. Like, where did that disappear to?
And on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to dig holes?
Correct. It's a malacha. So the Gemara says, V'aka avi kitisha, but you are chopping up the dirt. What are you going to do about having chopped up the dirt? If you take a look at Rashi, V'haka avid kitisha. This is a good Rashi to see. Three lines up from the bottom in Rashi. He says, L'Rav Yehuda parich. This is a challenge to Rav Yehuda. D'amar v'hu sheyesh lo deker na'utz. Who said that we're talking about where there is a spade stabbed into the ground. Alma d'taima d'masnisin lav mishum d'asi asei d'vechisahu be'afar. V'dachi as lo sa'aseh kol malacha. He says, Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda tells me that there has to be a spade stuck into the ground already, that tells me that he doesn't believe that kisui hadam is just straight out permitted under the rules of asei docha lo sa'aseh, you have a mitzvah to do, let it override a prohibition. Because if he believed asei docha lo sa'aseh, then
it
wouldn't
matter where it was.
Exactly. It wouldn't matter what your conditions were. The answer is that by having a spade stuck into the ground, your hole is already dug, so to speak. That's his idea. To which the Gemara says, V'haka avid kitisha, but you are still chopping up the dirt. Sha'adayan rigavim medubakim heim, the clods of earth are still stuck to each other. Ve'einan ru'uyan lekiso, you can't use those to cover the dam. Elim kein kotshan, unless you chop them up. The kotesh tolda de tochinhu umalachei. Kotesh, chopping up, is a tolda, a descendant form of grinding things up. And that is a malacha. So the way he's explaining it right now is, first of all, an insight into kisui hadam, into where the covering blood works. In other words, I might have said, having not read this Rashi, I would have said, covering just means that it should be shielded in some way. So if I had, I don't know, a steel plate, so to speak, or something, I could just you know, put it over it and it's covered. What he's telling me now is that it isn't simply that it's concealed, but actually kisau ba'afar, it's covered in dirt, meaning that the dirt is in contact with it. So therefore, having a clod of earth that's going to get propped up over it isn't sufficient. I actually need to crumble it. And crumbling it is going to be a problem because that is a descendant form of grinding. So if you're trying to eliminate Isurim by saying, well, he has a spade stuck into the ground, you haven't solved all your problems.
Why would a series of clods not work?
Apparently, he's telling you he wants the blood to be in close contact with the dirt, and I imagine... You're assuming that everything is flat. I'm not sure that that's true.
But then you're assuming digging. So, I mean, is there a shear for this?
Yeah.
In other words, for suet, I mean, if you're talking about the decker being there, and you're just lifting it up, and whatever dirt is on that one lift, is that enough, or...?
So part of this is dependent on the next line.
Okay.
Because the shear for a hole depends on how you understand the purpose of a hole. The core purpose of a hole, in terms of the malachos of Shabbos, is not to take dirt out, but to put something in, to use it as a storage area. And therefore, the minimum shear for a hole is the size hole that you could put something in it, something useful, in order to store it.
In this case, you're metal.
So that's part of what we need to discuss. That's the next line. So the Gemara first asks, you are grinding by doing this. I want to come back to the grinding point also, because that's not entirely clear. But Amar Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav Ba'afar Tichalach. So Chiya Bar Ashi says, quoting, Rav, we are talking about Afar Tichalach. Afar Tichalach means loose earth. So the spade is stuck into the ground, and you have some kind of sand or some kind of loose soil. You pull it up, and the soil is there on the spade, and you didn't have to chop anything up at all. That solves my problem of Ketisha. But you're still making a hole, because the soil was in the hole, and now it's not in the hole. Presto, there's a hole there. So he explains, actually, look at Rashi first, because there's an odd note in Rashi. Rashi says, V'haka'avid guma, the top of Davches, V'chayav mishum binyan, and you will be liable for construction.
Is making a hole a tolda binyan?
What else would it be? In the Mishnah in Shabbos that lists the 39 malachos, it does not say chofer guma. It does not say digging a hole. Digging a hole is a tolda of something. The question is, what is it a tolda of? If it's not a tolda of construction, and clearly I'm pointing you to this Rashi because I believe there's a problem here. If it's not a tolda
planting.
Of construction, what is it a tolda of?
Planting.
Why? Planting doesn't involve digging a hole necessarily. If there's a hole in the ground already, I could plant a seed without that. Planting a seed is Zoraya. However, if you remember your Mishnah in Shabbos, then you remember there's an item on the list before Zoraya. What do you have to do if you're a farmer and you want to plant things? Plow. Choresh.
Choresh, right.
And if you're dealing with an outdoor hole, then it should be a tolda of choresh. It should not be a tolda of binyan. So we're not going to go into it in depth. I'm pointing it out as a problem. There's a sefer called Divrei Yirmiyahu, and Hilchos Yom Tov Gimel, he actually discusses this, why Rashi says binyan instead of saying choresh. And Rashi is going to throw in choresh in a moment in a separate comment. So that's very strange. But nonetheless, the Gemara's question is, you're digging a hole. So why isn't that a problem? To which he answers, kid the Rabbi Abba, because it's like Rabbi Abba said. Da'ama Rabbi Abba, as Rabbi Abba said, ha'chofer guma b'shabes ve'eno tzarich ela la'afara, pater aleha. If you dig a hole on Shabbos, and you just need the dirt, so you are pater. It's not mutter, but it's only rabbinically prohibited.
So therefore, because it's only a rabbanon, you're allowed to do a mitzvah zaseh, not a yoyver mitzvah zaseh?
Not necessarily. You're a step ahead of me. But the idea that he's formulating is, I just said to Howie before, that digging a hole on Shabbos is a malacha specifically where you want to use the hole for storage. This is not that. This is digging a hole for a different purpose. Remember, very fundamental rule when you're dealing with the malachas of Shabbos. A malacha is defined by its mechanism and by its purpose. If you change the mechanism or you change the purpose, it's no longer a deoraisa. It becomes a derabanan. this, when you change the mechanism, when you change the purpose, I should say, it's called malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. It is a malacha that is not needed for the normal purpose of the malacha. You're digging a hole now to get the dirt out of it, that's a derabanan. Now, as Gerard says, that doesn't mean it's mutar. That's what we call pater aval aser. You're biblically exempt, but it's still prohibited. So we're not done. We're going to come back to that. But that's the flow of the Gemara right here.
What's the relevance of the decker being in the ground then? In other words, if the action itself is permitted, what difference does it make the status of the decker before Yontif?
Right. So I'm not sure. I'm using the wrong Gemara. I had a note in my Gemara for this, but I couldn't find it when I ran out the door, so I just grabbed a different Gemara. But I'm not sure then what advantage we have at this point, except possibly. Let's see if there's a comment in Rashi on the Mishnah. In the Rambam.
Assume it translates mina mukhan, and so it's not mukhsa.
I don't believe that that's their point. I don't believe that that is the point on this. I think there was a different reason for wanting the deck here. Just look at the Rambam on the Mishnah. Yeah, the way the Rambam comments on the Mishnah, he makes it sound like this also minimizes the digging element of it. He writes that there are two conditions that we're requiring. One, that the decker be stamped into the ground, and you uproot it. And when you uproot it, you are uprooting the earth. And then the second is that it should be loose earth, so that you won't be digging. So I think both pieces of it are to eliminate the digging problem. In other words, to put it slightly differently, if I only had one of these two conditions, so if I only had the deker in the ground, but the ground was tough, right? Or I used tough earth, but the deker was stabbed into the ground before Yontif, neither of those would suffice. I need to make sure that I'm not doing an act of digging because the spade was already in the ground, and I need to make sure that whatever I am withdrawing is going to be loose.
With an inyan of tircha.
Not of tircha, of digging.
But we just said the digging's not usser.
We did not say that.
Okay.
All we said is pater aval aser. We ain't done.
Okay.
We're pleading to a lesser charge because it's a different intent, but that's it. The issue of digging remains. So let's go back through this because there are a few things that we need to ask here. Number one, Rashi said here that you're doing Ketisha, and that Ketisha, if it's top earth, is a tolda de tochen. Right? Kodesh, he said, is a tolda of tochen. It's a descendant form of grinding things up. Grinding things up is a malacha regarding what? And when you remember the Mishnah in Shabbos, that gives you the 39 malachos, right? So the great majority of them are associated with either... Well, they're all Mishkan. Right. But the great majority of them are associated with baking bread. Right. So it gives you all the different stages of baking. And then the other is catching a deer and using the hide. But in terms of baking bread, one of the steps in your process is that you grind up the grain to make flour. That's what tochein comes from. However, take a look on your sheet. And the Rashash here asks a question, which I'm not going to answer. I'm raising it because he raises it as a question. He doesn't answer it either, so I don't feel like I have to. He says, Kasha lahavin. This is difficult to understand. Hakaimalan de'ein techina ela v'gidulei karka. We have a rule. And the rule is that techina, grinding, only applies to things that grow from the ground. Because it's modeled on grinding grain, right? Which comes from the ground. If you grind something that did not come from the ground, that's not called tochein.
Interesting.
So, it comes up in the Mishnah Brura that he's discussing there. The question is cutting meat finely. The definition of grinding in halacha is subject to some debate. How finely are you able to cut something up before it becomes an act of grinding? Let's say you're going to have a salad for your lunch on Shabbos, right? And you want to cut the peppers into really small pieces, as people do. Is that called grinding? So one standard for defining grinding is if it's small enough that you could swallow it whole, the pill-sized, then that would be a problem of grinding. That's one standard. It's a longer discussion. I'm not posking anything here. Let that be the rabbi's headache. But the question is discussed there in terms of cutting up meat. Am I going to be liable if I cut meat into very small pieces? So Mishnah Berurah says no, because meat doesn't grow from the ground. Even though animals are said to be gedulei karka in certain areas of halacha, not as far as this is concerned.
She could grind up a chopped liver.
So it would appear. Liver. Yeah. Those who are concerned about the aspartame and the Coke Zero probably won't go for the liver either. But yeah.
You have to put schmaltz in it.
Right. So he says, Trina only applies to things that grow from the ground. So here's a question. What are you grinding up in our discussion?
Dirt.
Ground. Does dirt grow from the ground? So the Rashash says, V'af or lo mikra gidule karka. He says, dirt is not called something that grows from the ground. V'chematzinu b'Shabbos, and he says, I'll prove it to you from the Gemara in Shabbos. Haiman de kanif milcha. Talking about somebody who is collecting salt. Somebody who put out salt water, let the water evaporate, and now he's got the salt sitting there. So what? So I added in brackets what he's talking about. The Ka'amri Hasam, the Ein Bayat Me'amer B'melach. There is a halacha, one of the malachas of Shabbos is called Me'amer. If you take a whole bunch of small things and you pile them up together into a lump, like they do with grain, with these sheaves that they've gathered in out of the fields, that's called ma'amer. Not allowed to do that on Shabbos either. So the question is, if I have this pan that has the salt crystals all over it, and I, just sort of pile them up together, is that ma'amer? And the answer is no. Kevin de'ein melach gidulei karka, because salt is not considered to grow from the ground. So he says, if salt, which is a mineral, doesn't grow from the ground, then dirt, ostensibly, doesn't grow from the ground either. B'chein kashal ha'avin, and he says, I have the same problem, al-lashon ha-rambam, perek ches me'hechos Shabbos halacha tezvav. The Rambam, in the laws of Shabbos, shakasav, he wrote, shaf, lashon shel mateches. Shaf is to rub, or like to plane a material. Plane, P-L-A-N-E. So if someone does that with a sheet of metal, the Rambam says he is chayav for tochein, for grinding. Because you get off those curls of metal by planing the metal sheet. So he says, I don't like that either, because metal also is from the ground. It didn't grow from the ground. So the Rashash is upset about two sources. He's upset about Rashi and our Gemara, saying that you're liable for tochein. And he's upset at the Rambam regarding metal, because he says it didn't grow from the ground. And he doesn't answer the question, and as I said, I don't have an answer either. But that's just a side note in terms of thinking about what the problem would be in breaking up the dirt. This comes up, lahalacha. It comes up on Shabbos. You're walking home from shul, and it had rained, and there's mud, and the mud gets on your shoes, and it cakes on it, and it dries on it, and you want to scrape off the stuff that's on your shoes. Are you allowed to do that, or are you guilty of tochein? Based on our Gemara and Rashi, before we see the Rashash, it sounds like one would not be allowed to crack the, intentionally, obviously, but to crack off the
water,
dirt that cake.
You're allowed to put water on it. Right?
So that raises the question of whether that's washing the shoe.
So the question is whether you're washing a material like that is really considered.
Correct. Right. Correct. So that's one thing
I thought it was dry. It's okay. I thought your brother wants to give a share on something. I'm not kidding about this. Jerry wants to give a share. I can't remember what he talked about. The same exact example you had, I won't quote it here because I'll be wrong. But I thought it was dry.
That's okay, you're on record. Yeah. But this would be an issue, according to what Rashi is saying here, it would be a problem. That doesn't mean that it will be, but that it's a starting point for asking a question. A second issue that's interesting to note here is regarding the status of the dirt that you're pulling out of the hole. The Tosfos is bothered on the top of Chesamet Aleph. We don't need to go through it inside. But Tosfos is bothered based on a Gemara in Shamas Lamed Tes regarding whether it's really called digging a hole if the dirt is entirely loose and it's not going to hold its shape. So Tosfos clarifies what we have to be talking about here is where the surrounding dirt is solid, It's just the dirt that you have that you're actually withdrawing is the loose earth that will cover the dam without you having to break it up. But if it won't hold its shape, then it's not called a hole within halacha. So, for example, you took kids down to the edge of the water on Shabbos, and the kids are digging in the sand. That's not called digging a hole, because the sand is just going to go right back to where it was. Whether the sand is muktzah or not is another question. Let's say it was a sandbox, and you know it would have been that was there for playing with. So maybe that would be a little bit different, perhaps. But what use does it have? Dirt automatically is muktzah. Dirt, stones, all these things are muktzah by default because they have no function on Shabbos. So,
yeah. Kids can't play in a sandbox on Shabbos.
Well, no, that's what I'm suggesting. If you have sand that's been designated, this is not dirt. This is a toy. So that may have a different standing.
Yes, if you want to join them, then you may have a problem. Because it's like your sandcastles.
Well, that raises a whole other Hilchos Shabbos question. The question arises, what about children's toys? Would they be muktzah for an adult? Yeah, ostensibly, they're certainly not entirely muktzah. At worst, and I'm not talking about sand now, I'm talking about a toy, you would say that it's a kli shemachtali isser lehetto or something. It's a kli that can be used for permitted things because the kids can use it. And therefore you could extend it to them. In the same way that medicine, for someone who needs it in a way that he's justified to take it on Shabbos, so it's not muktzah for him, and therefore I am allowed to hand him his medicine, even though for me the medicine is muktzah. For me the medicine has no function. Nonetheless, I am allowed to hand it to him as a kli that he would use. This is a longer discussion, and I end up saying things that are not correct, so I'm going to pause that there. But the loose earth that we're talking about has to be loose earth within a framework such that the hole will stay. So Rabbi Abba said to us that I am not worried about digging because it's halacha shenit zvicha legufa. This isn't the way that you dig a hole in halacha as far as the malachas of Shabbos. So Tosfos asks the question, if you take a look at Tosfos ve'eno, the second Tosfos on Daf Ches, he says, ve'eno tzarech ela la'afara patur. If you don't need the dirt, so then you're exempt from liability. So the Gemara says, why? Mishum da'avi malacha she'enet zvicha legufa. It is malacha that's not needed for the normal malacha, the normal purpose of the malacha. Upatar alayah, and you're exempt. V'tema. But he says, and how he said, I am shocked. De'in kein, patar aval asr lechavchila. Yeah, you're patar, but it's asr lechavchila. You're not allowed to go doing it. You're still prohibited. The Yesh Lomar, so he says, you could answer, Mishum Simchas Yom Tov Mutar Afil Lechatchila. Since it's now only a Derabanan, maybe it will be permitted for the sake of the joy of Yom Tov. To which he then comes back and says, well, wait a minute, if we're overriding Derabanans because of joy of Yom Tov, Vim Tomar, you might then ask, In Kain Lamali Dekar Noas, then why do I need the spade stuck in the earth either? Once you're telling me that the whole process of digging a hole is irrelevant, it's all overridden for Simchas Yom Tov, it's a derabanan, so who needed the spade stuck in the ground? So there is the note regarding why the spade is needed. It's not needed because of digging a hole. It's needed so that it will be muchan, so that it will be designated before Yom Tov for this purpose.
Which was going on the shovel, not on the...
On the shovel,
on
correct.
The shovel, not on the...
Correct, but Howie's going to ask the question. Go ahead. I knew this was coming.
Well, no, I'm not sure if it's a question. I have lots of pressure here. No, but you're saying that it's muchan beforehand. So the dirt is also muchan. In other words, he's preparing for Kisuidah.
I mean, I'm not sure whether muchan needs to refer to the spade or the earth, but let's pretend they're both muchan.
Okay, so it's basically should be said that's mutar because there's no muksa here.
No, but I have the digging problem. And we're overriding the digging because we're saying it's Derabanan and then Simchas Yom Tov. But the question that I'm anticipating here is, why is it that Simchas Yom Tov is sufficient to override digging a hole, Midrabanan, and not sufficient to override Muksa? Right? Why one and not the other? So that remains as a question. So the Maharsha takes this on in source base.
But the Dekar being there beforehand eliminates the Moksha issue.
Right, but why did I need it? Why didn't I just say, that's okay, Simchas Yom Tov? In the same way that I was able to do that for digging the Rabbanan.
Because it would be two Rabbanans.
So take a look at the Maharsha, source base, where that's at least one approach. He says, V'yesh lomar, you could say, D'mikol makom bo'inan she'e muchon me'erev Yom Tov. That's Tosfo said. Ad kam lashono, end of quote. Hirish. Mishum t'ika tarte isure. Because there are two prohibitions, he says. Now you'd have two elements. Chada de'eno muchon, one because it's not designated. Ve'od deka v'guma. And also, you're making a hole. So therefore... No, they're both Rabbanans. But now you would have two, if it wasn't muchon mi'ba'od yom.
Two Doraisas.
Two Rabbanans.
Two Dorabanans overcome
Simchas Yom Tov.
Yeah.
So he says, therefore, bo'i beis hillel deker na'utz... Bishachat. Therefore, Beis Hillel says, I want to have this spade stuck in the ground, in the case where you've already shechted. Aval, however, the Gemara is going to go on to talk about ashes from an oven. We haven't gotten there yet. Be'efer shehusak b'yom tov. When you have ash from a fire that was lit on Yom Tov, kevan deleka be'ele iser muchan l'chud, since it only has the prohibition of muchan, the issue, you know, it's not, there's no dirt there. It's just the issue of, is it ready for use or not?
I don't want
b'shacha. Then it's permitted where you shechted.
Are you allowed to put effer like that on Yom Tov?
You're going to see it. You're going to see it in the Gemara.
Okay.
We're not there yet, okay. but you will see that.
Go ahead.
Just get back to the mitzvah kisui adam.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether it's ashes or dirt, you're yotzei either way.
That we have to see in the Gemara. But the short answer is yes.
But you're covering it with a steel plate does not work.
Correct.
So this, for the blood to be absorbed, like if we had a synthetic, the green synthetic material that absorbs oils and stuff like that?
Don't know. Okay. Don't know. We'd have to look into it. I haven't looked at Kisui Adam in technical in a very long time.
What do you do when you shift?
Right, so the answer is, usually speaking, I say, you know, clean up in aisle three. So, the Gemara then has told us that if he already shechted, he has to use the spade to dig and cover it, and now what we come to as our conclusion here is, the spade is stuck into the ground in order to avoid a muktzah problem. The hole is not really an issue because it's a derabanan, because you're not using the hole for storage. You're using the hole just to get the dirt out. The dirt is loose, so there's no issue of grinding up the dirt. And as far as the derabanan, you're still not supposed to dig holes. The answer is that's overridden for Simchas Yom Tov.
But that's according to Marsha. Is that everybody agrees? Like it says, well, let's maybe you need three rabbanans not to be over Simchas Yom Tov. Maybe you need five.
Right.
You know, we have a principle of deraisa. At least I can understand it, but this is...
Right. I did not see others who challenged Tosfos in this way to see whether they provided another answer. The truth of the matter is that I could see reason to distinguish between Muktza and a derabanan of a malacha. Muktza being its own standalone halacha has weird rules sometimes.
Right.
So,
and this is a Kolda, it's
a derabanan of... It's a derabanan of a tolda would be the correct way to phrase it.
So according to this, if you had only one rabanan, let's say digging a hole, right, or you know something like that, that could overcome Simchas Yom Tov.
No, Simchas Yom Tov beat that
because even though it's some way or another connected to a tolda or you know something like that, more than muksa, that would be.
If the earth is fine, how's the shells done?
Sorry?
If the earth is fine, which is what you're requiring, right, that it be fine, how's the shell standing?
And the answer is, it's not necessarily fine, but it's loose, is the key. It's loose dirt. No, not necessarily. Depends how deeply it's in, what kind of leverage there is. Any number of details of the case will determine that. Remember we said also that...
And what does more normally mean? What are we referring to when we say loose dirt? Like, well, how do you decide whether or not what you've got is loose or clumps?
Well, if what we're really requiring when it comes to covering the dam is that the dirt be the sort of dirt you can scatter over it and, you know, make a nice layer, then you look at it and you see that for yourself.
But it's really not going to scatter. You've got dirt that you're going to be able to, you know, finally lay over.
No, I think it could. Especially when we're saying, as Tosfo said, that the walls of this thing are you know, firm. So that there will be a hold that will stand.
Well, it's little.
No. I could envision this without I don't see why that would be a given that the shovel wouldn't stand. I mean, imagine here, if this was filled with sand, right? This dish. So if you had a spade in it, it was leaning on this wall, it'll stand just fine.
Okay, it's leading.
Yeah. Okay. So the big question that we haven't addressed is the question that the Howie's been bothering me about, which is, why didn't you just cover it that night? Right? Since we said that there is this idea that you can do Kisui Hadam later, if it's not done immediately, so you do it later on, we even talked about the guy who's traveling in an area where there is no dirt and he absorbs the dam in his clothing. So, today's Yom Tov. Tonight's not Yom Tov. Do your shechita today. Have your meal today. Leave the dam there. And after Yom Tov is over, you cover it with dirt. Why are we going through all of this? And you're going to tell me now, don't let him shecht, or let him shecht only in this way. And what exactly are we doing with all of this? So the Mordechai asks this question sort of with an odd comment. If you take a look at Source Gimel, the Mordechai, remember, in the back of the Gemara is an early Rishon, the early Ashkenaz, I should say, not early Rishon, but early Ashkenazi authority. And this is a Haggah, which means an editorial note in the Mordechai. And it's very brief. It just says the following. This is the entire comment on our Gemara. He says, Chavivos mitzvos bizmanam. Mitzvos are beloved at their proper time. Udekavasa daikinan hacha birushalmi. And along these lines, he says, we deduce in the Yerushalmi, minayin shamaschol b'mitzvah omrim lo marok. How do you know that if somebody starts to do a mitzvah, we tell him to complete the mitzvah? That's his whole quote on our Gemara.
What's Marok?
Marok is to complete it, for our purposes. There are a couple of different ways you could take the word Marok, lemarek, but it's to complete it for our purposes. So his entire comment on our sugya is, mitzvahs are beloved at their proper time, and similarly the Yerushalmi says, how do we know that when someone starts a mitzvah, we tell him that he should finish the job? So what the Mordechai clearly is referring to is this question of why are we telling him to do the Kisui Hadam now? And what he's giving you as his answer is, Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. It is beloved to do a mitzvah, or the mitzvah is beloved when it's at its proper time. Don't push off the opportunity to do this mitzvah.
Would he still hold that where there's a possibility there's going to be over on something in order to do that? Of course not. I don't understand. You're saying that you shouldn't wait till tonight because we love to do this, but if you do that, then you're going to be over on it. Does that make any sense?
Well, he's probably talking about the case of the spade being in the dirt prior to Yom Tov. So he's eliminating the mukhsa part. Like, he's probably speaking about the case where it's only the hole is an issue. And I did look up the Shulah HaKena after.
Yeah.
It's mukhsa.
Yeah?
According to the Chasam Sofer,
can't
do it.
But the question in the Shulah HaKena, which we didn't get fully into, was the question of, is it called Shiloh HaKein if you don't take the eggs, which is a machlokas? Okay. So I'm walking down the road and I see a mother bird on the nest. Is there any mitzvah for me to chase away the mother bird even though I don't want the eggs?
So,
go around and chasing away mother birds.
But Howie asked a different question last week. This is Howie's.
You'll be picked on here.
That's what happens when you send an email.
How do we learn the mitzvah Kisui Hadam and its relationship to Shechita? Is it one mitzvah or is it
two mitzvahs.
Right. So the way that the Mordechai is framing it here is it's two separate mitzvahs, but having done one, you're now supposed to be doing the other. And even though you have the option of theoretically pushing it off, we don't want you to push it off. We want you to do it now. And even if that involves this, you know, odd way of doing things, in the sense that, you know, it's a derabbanan, it's a, you know, it, at the least, nonetheless, we would like to find a way for you to do it today rather than wait. Now, what caught my eye in this Mordechai was actually something a little bit different, and that was that he said two different things. His first statement was chavivos mitzvos bizmanam. Doing a mitzvah at its proper time is chaviv, is beloved. His second statement was from the Yerushalmi, which we'll see in a moment, which says if you start a mitzvah, we tell him, complete it. I believe those are actually two different points. And Gerard's question, the channeling Howie, is where the difference lies. Because if these are one mitzvah, then his second principle applies.
Right, right.
You start a mitzvah, you finish it. But if these are two separate mitzvahs, then you didn't start a mitzvah. You did a mitzvah. It's called Shchita. Shchita's over. You didn't start Kisui Hadam. The circumstances are there, but you didn't do anything. So therefore, I am confused by him quoting these two principles together as though they're pointing to the same thing. We do have a principle of Omrim Lo Morok, that if someone starts a mitzvah, we tell him to finish it. That is true. If you take a look at Source Dalet, I brought you the Rishalmi here in Beitza. Al Daite de Rabbi Yossi, within the view of Rabbi Yossi, Du Amar Ha'ol Va'ein Mitzvah Sasei Docha Balos Sasei Elim Kein Haisak Suva Bitzida. This is a principle we haven't yet seen, but comes up in the next Gemara. The Rabbi Yossi says, you know the rule of asei docha lo sasei, that active mitzvos override prohibitions? He says that's only if they're recorded together in the Torah. Meaning, the Torah's best example of asei docha lo sasei is when it says that, sorry?
Mila and Mitzvah.
Well, you have Hishamar b'nei Gatzaras and Mila, and the other one is Tzitzis and Shatnes.
Right.
Where we say, wear Tzitzis, don't wear Shatnes. And we say from that, that wearing tzitzis overrides shatnez. Actually, it's the other way around. It says, don't wear shatnez, wear tzitzis. So Rabbi Yossi says, that's the case where asay overrides lo sasay. The Torah puts them side by side in order to teach me your asay overrides your lo sasay.
What are both the righteous, though?
Well, that's all we're talking about. No, but that's a principle. Asei docha lo sasei as a principle. But his point isn't derived to derabanan. He says, well, then what's Rabbi Yossi going to do here? Because here, your asei of kisui hadam does not appear next to your lo sasei of Yom Tov. And we're going to see a need to bring in asei docha lo sasei in the next Gemara. We're not there yet. But the Yushalmi's point is, you're right. However, mikaven sheyischo b'mitzvah omrim lo morok. Since he started the mitzvah, we tell him to finish the job.
With that statement, it makes kisui adam an extension of shchita.
So that's the question: is that what we're doing? It sure sounds like it.
Which then makes kisui adam part of ochel nefesh, which should then make it a permissible act according to Beit Hillel.
Unless we're going to say it's a hechsher and not necessarily direct ochel nefesh, it's a backup step and it doesn't need to be done on Yom Tov, because we have that discussion about backup steps that don't need to be done on Yom Tov and saying, well, then you should have done them before.
This is backup after the fact. You do shchita, you have to do kisui adam. You can't do the kisui adam,
but you can push it off. It'll be done after Yom Tov. Instead of saying I could have done it before Yom Tov, now you say I could do it after Yom Tov.
The question is the source that you brought for that. Was that just a case where there was no dirt around, period? Like, we're talking the Arctic or some crazy, like some unusual case.
Not with global warming.
Right. And the answer seems to be no, right? The answer seems to be that there is such a concept. Certainly the Mordechai thinks so, or he wouldn't have quoted us the Rishalmi. The concept of waiting until after Yom Tov.
Right.
He believes that was a viable option.
And that probably because of two mitzvahs, right? not necessarily so.
Well, that's the question. Because he quoted the Omrim Lo Morog, which sounds like it's one mitzvah, but he also quoted Chavivah Mitzvah B'Shaita. I brought you other sources on the sheet just to show you these two principles. It's getting late, so I'm just going to quickly guide you through what we have here. Source Hay is talking about how they cut the Omer. The Omer is supposed to be cut Motzoi the night after the first day of Pesach. And we say you do that even if it's Shabbos. And not only do you cut the grain on Shabbos, but you singe it, because the Torah says, Aviv Kalui Ba'esh, Geras Karmel, so therefore you singe it as well. And the Gemara there, the Rishalmi there in Source Hay asks, by what right are you singeing it? That wasn't integral to the mitzvah. And there they say again, you started the mitzvah, you finished the mitzvah. That's one principle. Separate principle of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, that mitzvahs are beloved at their proper time. So I brought you two examples. One is from the Gemara in Pesachim in Daf Vav. Let's say Erev Pesach Shabbos, and you have the Chalavim. Is that the one that I brought you there? No, I'm sorry, I brought you a different one. I brought you a different one in Pesachim. Talking about what you do if you only have one cup of wine for Kiddush Friday night. So the rule is that, well, this we'll see, it's a short Gemara. Kavod Yom v'Kavod Laila, Kavod Yom Kodem, the Gemara says. If you have a choice between the dignity of the Friday night meal, the dignity of the Shabbos day meal, the Shabbos day meal comes first. So if you have a lot of nice stuff, save it for your Shabbos day meal. And there's a lot of discussion as to why that is. I think the Aruch HaShulchan mentions because people generally have nicer meals as their lunch meals. He's a European. But v'imein lo ala kos echad, if you only have one cup of wine, omer olav kiddush hayom, you use it for kiddush Friday night, v'meshe kiddush hayom, Kodem lechavod yom. Kiddush Friday night trumps the honor of the midday meal. And the Gemara asks, Vim Issa, but if you believe, as the Gemara said before this point in the Gemara had said that if you miss Kiddush Friday night, you could just make the same Friday night Kiddush you do with Shabbos day. That's the rule. Somebody was sick Friday night and they couldn't make Kiddush, so Shabbos day, before they have their Shabbos morning meal, they make the Friday night Kiddush. That's what they do. So he says, I don't understand. Then just take the cup of wine that you had for Friday night, it's your only cup of wine, and don't use it Friday night. Hold it over until Shabbos day. In that way, you've succeeded in honoring the Shabbos day meal and making Kiddush. Amar Lei, to which he replies, Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. Mitzvahs are supposed to be done on time. They're not supposed to be done pushing them off until later. You do the mitzvah when the opportunity for the mitzvah comes up. And the Gemara in Kiddushin that I brought you in Sor Zion talks about how they stood in front of the Bikurim. So both principles that the Mordechai quotes are real principles, independent principles. It's just that I don't think they're the same. And I think the practical application is this question of whether Kisui Adam is one mitzvah with Shechita or is actually a separate mitzvah. If it's one mitzvah, then your argument is Hamaskal mitzvah Omrim Lo Morog. If it's two mitzvahs, your argument is Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. The mitzvah is beloved at its proper time. So that's all one approach. That's the Mordechai's approach to this question. The Rashba, in our last bit that we'll see, asks the same question. This question of, why not just wait till that night? He wants to know as well. If you take a look at Source Ches, he says, Kasha Lahavin, this is difficult to understand. Da Kaimalan Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, we follow Reish Lakish da Amar. Kol makom shata moze asei velo saasei. Anytime you have a choice between an asei and a lo saasei, right? Mitzvah and prohibition. Im atayachol akayim eshnei amutav. If you can satisfy both, good. V'im lav, yavo asei b'yidches lo saasei. And if not, then the asei overrides the lo saasei. Okay, that's the principle. If you can satisfy both, you satisfy both. So he says, then I don't understand. Why not here? And here too, he could have satisfied both. The yamtin, let him wait. Velo yechasa ad ha'erev, and not do the kisui adam until that night. Ka'oser she'amru b'chulin per kisui adam gabi ashochet l'chol b'Shabbos. He says, I'll give you another example of this. The Gemara in Chulin talks about someone who has to shecht on Shabbos because there's a sick person, and the doctor says this sick person needs a hamburger. In those days, they had doctors. So the doctor says this person needs a burger. Shecht meat for him. So you say, okay, now the question is, what do I do about Kisui Adam? Do you cover the Dam also? Overriding Shabbos further? No, She'enu Machasa HaHerev. You don't. Don't cover it until that night, because you're allowed to wait. Uchadasanya b'braisa the kisui adam ein vadao docha Shabbos. As the braisa says, that kisui adam will not override Shabbos. The nearly, so he says, it appears to me. Demehacha ika lamashma de ein mavirin ala mitzvahs klal. So the Rashba says, you know what I get from here? You know what the answer is? You don't bypass a mitzvah. You don't bypass mitzvahs. Ela kevan shi esher l'kayim achshav es shnehem omer yavo ase v'yitchalo sase. Dimyamtin esher demitrit v'lo mekayim b'nim tzadichoy mipnei lo sase. He says, if you can't satisfy both right now, you can't do the ase and guard the lo sase. So he says, let the ase override the lo sase. Why? Because I'm worried. If you wait, you're going to get busy with other stuff. And Yom Tov is going to end. You're going to make Havdalah, and you're going to go do something else. And you're going to forget about Kisui Adam. We're worried that you're going to forget. Therefore, don't bypass the mitzvah opportunity. So he offers us a different meta principle. It's sort of the flip side of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita.
In other words, he's saying, L'chadchila, you're able to do this. Which is Beit Shammai, not Beit Hillel.
Well, everybody had agreed. Shem Shachat Yachor V'Dekar V'Yachase.
No, but he's saying if you're actually... Well, not, we're talking... Beit Hillel is saying after Terei Shechted what you do.
Right.
This is saying, L'chadchila, you can Shecht and do it. It's for Ochel Nefesh.
So I'm not sure. You're right that his language sounds like he'd even permitted on the D'oraisa level.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Also, D'oraisa level. You don't need Rabbanan.
Right. I want to wait a little bit to see two things. One, the Asei Lo Docha Lo Sase discussion that's going to ensue on Daf Ches. And the other is to see what the Rashba's position is when we get to the Mukhlefes Hashita that I mentioned last week, where there's going to be a machlokes as to whether what we think Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai said might actually be reversed.
That's what we...
Okay, because I have a feeling that maybe that's why. Maybe that's why the Rashba is saying.
I can't wait for 2 weeks.
Sorry.
I did a kapar shogun that night also.
But that's the Rashba statement. And what the Rashba is quoting is also a halachic principle.
Kisei Adam, we'll bring some chickens for kapar shogun.
Kisei Adam, and we'll use the coins. I brought you an example of this from Source Tess. In Source Test, the Shulchan Aruch writes that you're supposed to cut your challah on Friday night, holding both challahs in your hand, and then you cut the lower of the two. That's what you're supposed to do, he says. You cut the lower of the two. There's a whole thing within Kabbalah about why the lower one Friday night and the upper one Shabbos lunch. But the Mishnah Berurah writes in Source Yud, Habach Tama, the Bach of Yol Circus expressed surprise. Dein mavir nala mitzvos. How can you cut the lower one? What about the problem of bypassing mitzvahs? The upper one is closer to you, as he presumes. So therefore he writes that Taz Tikein is there. The Taz fixed this. Taz in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch. The Nag Lahaniach HaTachton Karov Elav Yosem in HaElyon. He simply made sure the lower challah was closer to him than the higher challah was. So you're holding your challahs like this. Right? And that's the simple way to do it. Like this on the recording. So that, the first one you encounter is the lower one. Or if you want, you could take the one that was higher up during the Hamotzi and therefore was the one that was closer to you and then flip them. And then you can use that one that you'll cut. And that way you get the one that's closer to you and it's the lower one. There are all sorts of ways to satisfy this. But I bring it not to make it crazy in terms of how you cut your challah, but to show you the concern for indeed this principle of ein ma'avir en ala mitzvahs, that we don't bypass mitzvah opportunities. This is why one of the two reasons why people should not do the practice that you see sometimes where they make kiddush and then they'll pour off for everybody before they're going to drink. So number one, there's a problem potentially of hefsek of interrupting in your kiddush, if you get distracted, if you start distributing or whatever. But number two, you're bypassing the mitzvah. So you should first pour off whatever you're going to drink that, and then take care of everybody else.
That's why passing the grape juice also might be a problem. Like some people say, you should drink it right away. I never understood that.
Yes, I wonder about whether that's really a problem. Your mitzvah's over. Once the Mekadesh drinks, you're taken care of, I think. I think I've wondered about that with Hamotzi, because his bracha is counting for your bread, and therefore the Hamotzi amount is sure. But the but with the Kiddush one, certainly your Yotze once he drinks. In terms of this, what we've seen then on this last point, this question of why not wait till that night, are really three principles. Principle number one, you start a mitzvah, you finish it, which applies if this is one mitzvah. Number two, chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, it's more beloved to do a mitzvah at its proper time, and they stood for the people who brought the bikurim because they're doing this mitzvah at the proper time. We talked about using your cup of wine for Kiddush Friday night and not waiting with it for Shabbos day. And then the third principle, which is similar, but does have nuances of difference, ein mavir in ala mitzvah, is that we don't bypass mitzvah opportunities because we're worried that if you do, you may not come back to you may not come back to actually do the mitzvah.